Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, Preps Nation? I am your host, Dan Kaplan, and we are thrilled to welcome you guys on as we have a loaded episode. We are jacked up, talking 2027s, talking 2026s, talking some awesome events. And with me to do that is someone who has had quite the footprint in terms of his geography this summer, and that is Inside Lacrosse's Kevin Brown. Kev, how are you?
Captain Cap. Excited to be here, man. Been on the fields quite a bit this summer, enjoying it. We've been split apart for a lot of it in our different assignments. You know, one of the best couple hours of my summer was getting to spend some sideline game watching with you at Alliance. So excited to talk some shop and compare some notes here. Talking about some evaluations, Cap, we've got some milestones.
Yeah, some exciting milestones. And I'll quickly just go on a little bit of a tangent, and that's just a peel back behind a little bit of our strategy, right? And so I'm entering or exiting, I guess, at this point of the summer, year two of a recruiting cycle within my own personal term within this role for Inside Lacrosse. And part of that revamp of strategy was to create more evaluations at scale. And within that, we are, you know, thrilled to kind of announce, I guess, so to speak, that we've hit the 1,000 evaluations milestone in both the 2026 and 2027 classes, which if you consider the time point and the timestamp in the 2027 class, that's particularly impressive. And then within that, we've also eclipsed the 7,000 total evaluations in the database. So some milestones to be happy with, to give ourselves a quick pat on the back, as I know that, you know, like we said, that is part of executing the vision that we imagined as the revamp is going through to create evaluations at scale to kind of show our work, so to speak, in terms of how we allocate star ratings and go ahead and finalize ranking lists, right? And so for there to be data points along the way for fans to understand like why we feel a player is good and how good we feel that player is, I think is really important and creates a bit of transparency around the entire process.
Cap, I think we've explained it the last few IL Preps podcasts. This is the first one I've been on this summer. I think it's always worthwhile for her. Thank you. Always good to be here. And listen, I think it's always worthwhile to take that curtain back and make sure people understand why we're doing the things that we are. And especially when it comes to evaluations, if you want to just run down, like, evals, a one-time score, like you said, this is all showing our work for the forthcoming rankings coming at the end of the month. And this one-time score, as you mentioned, we hope to get it at scale mostly because we want to get these guys evaluated a couple times if they keep performing at a consistent enough level to round out their game and be as precise as possible. Just if you want to touch on that kind of difference and
So what I just deciphered from what you said there is kind of two different questions. The first is like, what is the actual difference between a star rating, a ranking, and an evaluation? Because they are three kind of different buckets that while they all serve each other and maybe you know, have an inner relationship, they don't necessarily always depend on each other. And so star ratings, you know, the end of the rainbow, so to speak, item is a full career evaluation, right? And so that's ever changing. It's always going to grow and continue to change from the very first point in which we will rank them, which is always after the rising junior summer, right? And so the reason we do that is because we don't base all of our rankings on our own analysis. We value all of the consensus via the college coaches. And so we can't develop that college coach consensus and that understanding at scale without talking to the coaches and without them having performed their own analysis, right? And so before that summer, they just don't have the opportunity to kind of sink in and develop their own feel for that class. So for us, like, that'll always be the first point, is like after the first point in which the coaches have been able to sink their teeth into them. And so that's like your star ratings. It's an overall encompassing thing that is not just our analysis. Then the second layer of that, right, is like recruiting rankings, or maybe you consider that the first layer if you, you know, consider that there's going to be, you know, a few hundred players that receive star ratings, but only 100 players that are ranked in the top 100. And again, I think that that is, again, a lot to do with that conversation piece that I was just alluding to. But within that, we also want to have data points that we're able to provide fans along the way, so that it's not just this end of the spectrum, here's our list and just live with it. But again, this aspect of like, here's why we think this player is good, and here's how good we think that they are amongst their peers. And that's where the evaluation piece comes in. But within that, it's not necessarily, and I'm sensing that part of the reason you asked this is the question that you asked is so that I get to the point that I'm getting at right now, which is that the evaluation is a snapshot of a single game, right? It's hard to boil it down to a single moment, because you're not going to be able to develop a full feel for the spectrum of a player in one moment, but over the course of a single game, surely. And furthermore, it also mimics exactly what the college coaches are doing too, right? And so if you are Kevin Brown, you went to Slee A&M High School, you really wanted to go to Maryland and play on their lacrosse team, and you reach out to John Tillman, and John Tillman decides like, okay, I'm going to watch Kevin Brown's team, and here I go, and Kevin Brown stinks in that game, well, Kevin Brown probably isn't going to Maryland, right? And so for us, right, we actually get more of a feel, because we won't just do it off of that one single game. Like, we'll continue to watch guys, and if they pop at different points, they can always get evaluated or reach that like level of notoriety or become a standout or whatever it is that we do. And so again, it's just kind of meant to mimic at least a bit of the way that college coaches do, where they go, they throw a backpack chair on, they go to the sideline, they sit down, and what they see is what they get, and that's their sample, and that's what turns into notes. And the only difference at that point is their notes go into a private database or an Excel sheet that they only share with each other. And we go and we turn them into public notes, and we, you know, let fans see it, we let players see it, and, you know, we turn it into content, right? And so that's the core difference between that aspect of things. And so I hope that I realized that that was a little bit long-winded, but I hope...
Long-winded, but there are important distinctions that these are questions I get from people that I'm watching games with on the sidelines all summer. So I appreciate you being the, you know, IO Preps director, coming up with a very well-worded way to describe the whole process. 1,000 evaluations is no joke, so I'm excited to get into a few of them with you in this episode, Cap. And, you know, I think we're, you know, the tease something later in the episode. Well, you'll have to sit around and listen for. But Cap, we've got some exciting things in the work, at least this month, content wise.
Absolutely. And before you totally transition away, the last thing I'll say along those lines is just that. When I did take over in this role, one of the first things I did, it actually might have been the very first thing I did, was create basically a list of frequently asked questions, to your point, like around the ratings, rankings, evaluation, so on and so forth, and made a story of it called Recruiting Timeline and Frequently Asked Questions, something along those lines. If you just Google that, if you're still confused, you want to see more data points, you want it in text, whatever it is. Is out there and exists and is probably the best reference, even better than anything verbal that I just provided.
100%. And again, I just think it's worth bringing up each time, because these are, like you said, frequently asked questions. Cap, this month is, you know, a big one. It's one that you alluded to as college coaches will compare their notes. So will we. We've been out in the recruiting grind all summer, and, you know, it's going to culminate in some pretty premium content, like you kind of hit on there at the end of the month.
I'd like to give you some flowers personally here. Some claps for Kev. Your evaluation total number for the summer is outstanding. So you deserve a big piece of that that cake there as well.
I'm a decent note taker. Let's see if
a frequent flyer. You're all over the place.
I try to be as many places as I can be. And listen, Cap, it's exciting to see different brands of lacrosse as well. You know, like seeing these different kind of kids, maybe a little more raw when you get down to the Texas Brawl, but seeing them all put together in a few years when they get to the Adrenaline All-American Games, it's a fun process to see how they evolve.
And as a D3 guy, like maybe that isn't a fair statement to call those events D3 events, but what I will say is the passion at every level is the exact same. Like, guys will lay it all on the line. It may look a little different, but guys are laying it all on the line, and that's just fun.
You mentioned a funny example of me emailing John Tillman to watch me play. The reason I'm most impressed about it is the compete level with these kids, man. Like, these are mature young men, and these guys laid all on the line in a way that, like you mentioned, Tillman would have walked right past my game if he saw the compete level that I was playing that back in the day. So props to you guys. It's different skills. It's a pleasure watching you guys play all summer.
All right, let's get into it. We have a ton of standouts. And one of the things that I'll say right now is we could probably do full podcasts on each and every one of these events if we were really to boil it down. So bear with us. If you don't get mentioned, don't, be too upset. And if you are listening to this and you're hearing a certain event or hearing us talk about a certain event and you want more from that one, please go check out evaluations on the website. We have 20 plus evaluations, in some case 30 plus evaluations from a ton of different events. And so, yeah, like we said, please go check those out. That's the best spot. But we're going to try and limit to like five or so standouts from each one here. And we're going to kick it off, I guess, with New Balance Senior Game.
Good one. Good one to kick it off with, Cap.
I mean, you could argue that it is the one, right? And so obviously just an awesome affair, right? Like, from the entire spectrum of things this year's back at Towson, the entire event is just like so well done. Partnered with New Balance, and like all the gear is glorious. They give them so much stuff on top of it. I even got a handful of things on, if I'm going to be honest with you. But some, just the whole pageantry of it, I really believe it's like one of the best intros in the sport, right? And so
try to leg it out for the 20th year.
Also true, totally true, 100%. I can't believe I even got this far into it without mentioning that, so I appreciate it. Plus the XX logos looked really, really nice. So all of that stuff I think was awesome. The way that they do, you know, the pyro in terms of the introductions and all that type of stuff is awesome. And then this game I thought was awesome because they played really hard. Like, they just went at each other and they really cared about the outcome of it at a way that like I didn't necessarily expect them to. And I feel like a lot of times you get like more of the, you know, just like there's a dance party of celebrations and a lacrosse game happened, but this was a lacrosse game that happened to have some sweet celebrations. Right. And I think that's
2 years really. Yeah.
Yes.
At least.
Yes. Agreed. And then the very first, you know, like clip that I kind of recall, and I was doing, a bit of bouncing around and some stories and talking to some people. But the first clip that I kind of recall to start the game, Millen on the wing goes behind the back, split to his left hand, takes top side and just sticks one. And I was like, man, like, you know, he is fantastic. And like, you know, obviously is the tip of the iceberg within this class. But for that to have been like just the way that the game started, you kind of knew that there were going to be a ton of fireworks.
Not only one of the best highlights of the game, the best celly of the game, going right into the tush push. And it's just remarkable that he went behind the back with that split dodge. Like, yeah, like you said, just a real tone setter.
And then MVP of the game went to Teddy Lally. He had 3 goals and an assist, a few highlight goals as well. Rode the pony after one of them, you know, having some fun, feeling the vibes.
Sweet shooting stroke, future Irish quarterback. They lose the Kavanaughs, in comes Lally. Pretty good luxury there.
No doubt. And then just to highlight a handful of other guys, Gary Merrill, also important, also impressive. Just moves at like a degree that isn't necessarily super, super common in our sport for sure. Super athletic, but physically just imposing as well. Then Dash Lomity headed to Hopkins. Really impressive as well. And he's someone that has continued to kind of shoot up the ranks a bit over the last year and a half or so. And just every time I see him, it's like something else about his game pops, but he's always been really impressive.
All right, we're set.
I know you caught a little bit of that, but you were all sorts of back and forth and you were flying out. I think during that game was some media time, but you were in Texas for the Adrenaline All-American game. Tell us a little bit about that one.
The 20th year of the Corrigan Sports in Entertainment across All-American Game that we're heavy partners with. 15 years for the Adrenaline Boys out there out west celebrating the best of the West. These guys from non-traditional hotbeds from all over the United States. And it's a game that's only getting better. You know, I was kind of nervous. You mentioned the compete level from last year for the New Balance game. Like I don't think it reached quite the compete level of the 2024 Adrenaline All-American game, but coming after a fun, a loose banquet on Saturday night to see the boys get after it. They saw those New Balance kids get after it on Saturday night, and they're like, listen, we got to show them what we're all about as well. Shout out to Maddie Higgins and Ollie Nolting, two guys who played in both games. This is a Adrenaline All-American game that had 5-star Higgins, as I mentioned. Matt McCain was in net for the first half. And he ended up making 7 stops for Team South. He's headed to Notre Dame. He's ranked 37. We'll be updating those rankings at the end of the month here. Mentioned Nolting. It was fun to see Asher coach against him. Funny little dynamic there. Asher was kind of playing it off. But let's. These guys are, it's like, they want to get after it. Just saw Ollie Nolting is going to wear 89 too in college. That's sick. And also featured number 76, Stu Gates. Of course, these are old rankings, will be updated. North.
Stu was a both games fella as well.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Thank you for mentioning that. And the North ended up making a late run in this one. It was pretty back and forth throughout. 12-10 win for the North boys. And yeah, shout out Kimo Kaletsis, the MVP hat trick, headed to Penn. New York boy, moved down to Texas. Now he's going up to be a Quaker. Excited to play for Coach Ray. New leadership there, so kind of all over the place with Kimo, but he's got a smooth left hand and a super slick player. Kind of reminds me of a guy that he was playing for that night and in college or at the high school level at the Woodlands with Anthony DeMeo. He shouted out Jared Bernhardt, who's coming off another dub for the Denver Outlaws and was helping out coaching. So getting the boys spread and organized offensively. So good to see the boys balling out and then the Western, not traditional guys. You know, I know I'm going a little long here, but just a few guys that I've had eyes on for years, Cap, like Nolting and Higgins that I mentioned, but like defender, like Jack Kudzill. Some more Cali guys like Ryland Roach and IL Events legend Colin Kamenda had one of the best goals of the night with a sick swim move down the alley and converting with the right hand jumper. Like, man, this guy's a lefty. All right. Shout out Pio fans. You're getting something good with Colin Komenda.
100%. And he is coming off of a year at WRA as well. Just really been impressed with him over the years as well. Continues to improve every time I see him. And that's a great shout as well. Anybody else? You said there were a handful of guys that you just have had your eye on over the years. You've been to that event a couple of times. This year, I also believe there was a futures aspect of it. Anybody else that you want to touch on real quick before we move on from the senior games?
Yeah, good shout. This is the first year that they bring in. It's a kind of a cool parallel, you know. These rising freshmen going into college, they're bringing in rising freshmen going into high school, trying to get a little mentorship going. How can I get into this position in 4 years? And it turned out great. Both the girls and the boys turned out this was some high competitive games. And it was fun to watch, especially Hudson Ray for Team South scored a hat trick. He was kind of all over the place, had the swaggy knee sleeve. Shout out Hudson. And like you mentioned, just a lot of guys that I've seen before for the senior game, including Stu Gates, Dartmouth bound. He was kind of heavily marked. He was getting out of his stick. So shout out Stu for not letting it die in his stick ever. And Jack Bicklemeyer, just an absolute freak of nature. Being Ohio State guy is going to barrel someone over. And you remember this comment when the 2026 season starts and he's running over Big Ten defenders as future Buckeye.
Love it. All right, let's go ahead and move on to regular club team tournaments away from the senior all-star games. But that was a great segment.
Yeah, let's do it. Cap, you mentioned a few stars of the New Balance game. Before we move on to some of the club tournaments, let's hit a few more of those guys, just because I know a lot of guys balled out that night.
Yeah, I mean, one guy that I feel like just was physically impressive again and just kind of made a ton of plays. It's not anything news or worthy or new, so to speak, but that was Robbie Hopper. Just like all over the field, and his length is so impressive. His stick skill is so impressive. Always kind of makes a handful of plays. I thought Jake Bickle was really impressive as well. Had a couple of sick goals and just, again, did a really nice job of dodging and getting his own. And again, all of these guys, like, their shake and ability to then just like put a shoulder into somebody afterwards and maintain their leverage is just super impressive. All of them dodge with a level of physicality that, you know, you just don't always see. And then at the faceoff X, I'll shout out, you know, all those guys are excellent. But I'll just quickly shout out Vince Gaylord from Avon O Farms, headed to Richmond. You know, did a really nice job, had a goal. You know, like I said, they're all fantastic. So we really could dive in on just about every kid that played in the game. But I feel like from a top end standout aspect, like those guys, and I guess the last one is Matt Triolo. A unit, just a total unit. Your Blue Hens have a really good one in Triolo coming.
Shout out 302. I've got a Richmond boy to tease for a little bit later in the episode, Cap, but let's get to our event. We hosted the Inside Lacrosse Summer Cup, second annual time doing that after the successful Derby earlier in the summer. Cap, we saw the 26s ball out. Tyler Appenzeller was one of the standouts from that division, as Pittsburgh, shout out Gritty Iron City, grinding out the 26th division. I had eyes on the 27s, and Cap, there were quite a few guys I want to shout out quick, but any remarks before we get started with the Summer Cup going into the summer here?
Yeah, let me pull up my notes real quick. But I'll first just say, like, anytime we're hosting our own events, it's always awesome. We get to have so many different faces come on site and different conversations and guys that come up and ask, you know, lots of really good questions and everything from similar questions to what you asked at the start of this to just like, you know, yo, where should I go to school? And it's like, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. And, you know, we'll just like kick it for a few minutes. And I think those are cool too. So anytime we get to host, you know, it comes with a certain set of responsibilities. But at the end of the day, it's always an awesome time. And, you know, just the best way for us to kind of serve that recruiting community directly.
Now, we joke about it in Slack channels, but the eval bump is sometimes seems like a real thing. Appenzeller, just a real fun athlete to watch. And on a couple days after announcing, you know, the write-ups and the all-touring team, he commits to Monmouth. So congrats on your verbal commitment there, Tyler. And again, I had eyes on the 27 division where 3D Upstate was really the class of the division, Dan. And guys like Jason Cunningham on defense, who's just a physical specimen and just pressuring you on all the worst ways if you're an offensive player, really stood out. Whereas he took home the defensive MVP honors and for offense this you look at the midfield for 3D Upstate, and Tyler Rieger scored a hat trick in the championship game. So obviously had to give him the championship offensive MVP nod. And there were just a lot of downhill middies who, you know, impacted the game in a variety of ways throughout the division. So I want to shout out Charlie Wiggins, Wisconsin boy. You mentioned getting guys from all over into this tournament here. And Charlie Wiggins is an alpha double A club guy who, I love the way he just passed the ball and opened his hips to make good feeds, good reads throughout, moved it through X. But when that skip lane was there across the field, he could hit it. And, you know, a very similar style midfielder to Tyler Rieger is Timothy Tarango. Apologies if I mispronounced your last name, but you're an absolute beast. So you deserve a shout out for your athleticism, and I should be watching him as he goes for his recruiting process. And last guy I'll shout out, Cap, is this attackman who is playing up with the 26s most of the summer. Played down with the 27s down the home stretch of this playoff run as a true 2027 West Virginia guy, Anthony Fisechia, super speedy and fun to watch. So, Cap, the 27 division definitely balled out at IL Summer Cup.
I love it. Very well said. And I will jump in, and I got to watch a bit of every division. I'd say I probably leaned more towards 26s and 28s, just as a happenstance to my schedule. But I can dive in a little bit to the 26 group. And it actually serves well to the way that this conversation is unfolding. 26s, again, you mentioned already, Iron City won it. They took down Alpha in that championship. I was really impressed with a handful of guys from Alpha. One of them was on that 2026 all-tournament team that Matt Kinnear did. Shout out to Matt Kinnear. And that was Quinn McDonald from Bayport. Again, just really impressive, uncommitted. I loved his pop, has a real explosiveness out of his dodge. He's pretty two-handed, really good on the wings, but also pretty versatile and fast. He was fast. Just popped to his game as a Dodger, versatility, toughness, and pretty two-handed. And then, again, just a handful of guys you could kind of shout out from that Alpha team that fit that description that I just laid out. Kind of two-handed, tough, pretty athletic. Another one of those guys that fits that is Justin Sawicki from Wanaki. Again, a really impressive athlete, can kind of stroke it. Had a really nice goal where he just was dodging down the righty alley, didn't create a ton of separation, but just stopped, popped, set his feet, and nailed it. And just a really nice take. And then the last one that I'll give from that Alpha team is Caleb Jabas, who is the first guy you notice when the team walks up because he's huge. And then fills the cage, right? So his goalie fills the cage, but moves really well on top of it, had nice crisp outlets, did a really nice job all around, right? Not just sitting high, but getting down low and gobbling up some down at his feet as well. So Iron City won that game, and it was tight all the way through, but both goalies, both Caleb and Isaac Schultz, another Wanaki player that, again, really, really, you know, impressed in the cage. LSM, Benton Thompson, total menace, awesome between the lines, sideline to sideline, just super high energy, super high motor, really strong athlete. And then another guy that kind of fits that high motor, strong athlete, but offensively midfielder that plays with a ton of versatility, can get it done between the lines, but was also pretty savvy in 6-on-6 sets. And that was Callan DeGrand, a Pine Richland, again, Iron City. I didn't know who we were going to give MVP to until late because the goalie makes a game-winning save. So it kind of like takes the cake in that moment. So Zach Lineham, shout out to Zach, line him up, save him down. And he was awesome, made a ton of saves throughout it, but made that clutch one. And so that was what solidified MVP. But prior to that play, I was on board with like Callan DeGrand is doing a ton of stuff, but just doesn't have the stats that are in the box score to make it like a sure shot he's the MVP. But he was my personal MVP.
Yeah, that's a sure car with the cap MVP if you're doing all the other little things.
No doubt. And then 28, again, I watched a handful. Awesome championship game between USA West and Annapolis Hawks. USA West wins it. My biggest takeaway from the game was Noah Benny. And I say biggest very purposely. He's massive, but did a really nice job in cage.
Shout out Joe Walters. Had him on the pod, gets the pod bump. And then he leads USA West to the IL Summer Cup title.
Noah Benny was the biggest standout, but second biggest, also, again, very purposely, super physically imposing, awesome midfielder, can get it done on both ends. That's Hawks Packard. Again, I think that a handful of these guys, you know, as 2028s are thrown into the deep end on their varsity spring teams in high caliber games. And he was one of them that did that and excelled then. So then to see him in a 2028 circumstance, right, where it's just guys in that class, you know, he's just even more physically imposing while on a field with seniors, he can still do that, right? And so he's certainly one that if you are, you know, a top end coach starting to make your 2028 board because you feel like, you know, in terms of 2027s, you have your group that you're going to go after. I think Hawks is going to be on a lot of those types of boards.
Cap, we around this point last year may have synced in terms of our, you know, thoughts of who might be the top 27 player, but coming from the 28 division at Isle Summer Cup is how I think is a fun transition into to NLF. Don't have to say the player, but
I mean,
what are the top players in the 28 division?
Kevin, what a glorious moment to provide the value of evaluations.
Absolutely.
You don't need to know the player's name. Go check out the evaluations. It's at the top of the list.
You can see the scores.
Literally, the name is on the website at the top of the list.
This guy is balling out, and he will surely be mentioned in one of Cap's standouts from the NLF Championships, one of the premier events of every summer circuit.
All right, let's start 26 double A's. West Coast Stars wins it. 27 double A. West Coast Stars wins it. 28 double A. Annapolis Hawks wins it. And then again, you mentioned 2028s already. Three guys that I quickly am willing to dive in on and, you know, swing the bat pretty hard on. Both of them, all three in this instance, are guys that were actually playing on the 2027 circuit as 2028s. That's Luke Martini. I know that you loved his game early in the summer, potentially was the guy that you were alluding to earlier just a few minutes ago. And I guess I'll just kick it to you real quick. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about his game?
Well-rounded. He's an aggressive feeder, but he can really just cut off ball just at the most opportune moment. And you saw his dodging ability. I think him as a quarterback at the next level just really stands out as a guy that, oh, you're already playing a division up? Well, I think he'll translate quite nicely.
Yeah, he's so savvy. You mentioned his off-ball play, incredible timing, just gets it, has great hands in there as well when he does get fed, slick finishes, and has every finish in the book, whether it's low angle, a catch and a fake and a finish, or, you know, just quick stick, great instincts in there. And then also, like, as good as he is off-ball, a lot of times guys that fill that skill set to that ability then can't go pick the ball up off the end line and go by top tier defenders. And he's going by 27s that I think are pretty good. So yeah, this kid is fantastic. The next that I'll hit on is Hunter Hanford, playing for Eclipse, goes to Brunswick. If you check the last name, probably if you're familiar with the club circuit, then that's going to be a last name that you're also familiar with. And again, really impressive. I think he's awesome in a variety of ways, can shake and go by you and score it, can feed it, super tough, plays with an edge, like rides like crazy, and, you know, just does a ton right and moves on all the right spots off ball. Really impressed with him as well. Two attackmen in that instance, right? A righty there in Martini, a lefty in Hanford that I'd expect are probably, you know, like I think Hanford's going to be one of the better left-handed attackmen in the 28 class for sure. And I think Martini, one of the best overall attackmen. And I could say the same thing for Hanford as well, regardless of hand. And then the last guy that I'll hit on in the 28 class, just like I said, got to keep these things moving. But there were a handful of other ones that we did evaluate from this event. So go check this thing out. And that's Diesel Reiber, and I apologize if I pronounced the last
Diesel.
Yes, first name Diesel. So literally first thing that comes to mind is like gas, right? And he plays with a ton of it. Energy, hustle, heart, all of that. He's eager to get his hands on dudes, like wants to cross check you to the sideline, wants to get his hands on you, wants to play physically, like just brings that mindset to the table as a short stick D mid. And again, is doing that as a 28 in the 27 group. I believe in his instance, and I don't know for sure in the other two, that he's a reclass. I don't know for sure with the first two, but again, I think it's still just all relevant context that they're playing with the 27s and are, you know, significant standouts.
Don't want to be matched up against Diesel. Cap, who else stood out for you there?
I'll move on. I'll go to the 27s, which is obviously where I spent the bulk of my time. I did catch a couple of 26s, and specifically, I believe it was a little bit on Friday, but quarterfinal rounds. I split games on quarterfinals and caught an awesome matchup between the Express 26s and New Hampshire Tomahawks. Just an awesome matchup that came down to a game-saving or game-preserving, game-winning save from Royce Hesterberg headed to Stony Brook. So, you know, that was a fitting spot for him to be performing well. And then, like I said, literally comes down to a last-second heave down the field. Express gets a pretty good look at it. Hesterberg meets it, sends it down the left of the length, and, you know, they Tomahawks end up winning that game against Express. And one of the things that, like, I didn't necessarily expect, because, you know, it's club ball and all these guys are committed, and, you know, that's, you know, just kind of the timeline that it all occurs on. But they were playing so hard, and then Express, when that final whistle did blow, it was emotional. Like, those guys have been playing together in some cases. Like, there's probably a core where there's, you know, some extremities of guys that have been in and out. But like in some cases, you know, like you could see them having played together for 5 to 10 years as a group, right? And so that kind of being the last hurrah for those guys, like you can imagine how hard they were playing and how much it mattered to them when it ended.
Coming off an NAL title, I believe, you know, these guys are playing less as 26s. And I think sometimes they're a little fresher, sometimes means a little more when you get into those last club games. So it's always awesome to hear about the really exciting finishes of the club circuit that kind of these kids, when they're PLL pros, will tell you in interviews that these are games that they remember most. And it is kind of,
yeah, losing on a grass field, you know, in the summer of your rising senior year,
right,
will stick with you. And that, I think that's cool. There's a lot of, you know, naysayers about the whole club world. And, you know, there's a lot of potentially negatives, sure. But one of the things that nobody ever really wants to talk about is like when you have a team that does stick together and they really do care about each other, like how awesome those experiences are along the way. And like families and like moms end up being best friends, dads end up being best friends. And, you know, like you just end up with your group. And, it, you know, it. I think that aspect of the club lacrosse world can be done in a way that is really, really cool.
It's also a club that does a lot of winning together. That's for sure.
Winning helps everything everywhere.
Not for the lack of trying out of guys like Ben and Matthews. That guy is an absolute unit.
No doubt. Total unit. Also, just like when he gets ahead of steam, like there's just so, it's just so difficult to bump him and move him. Very two-handed. They defended him really well, to be honest with you. Bramhoff did a really nice job on that matchup, as much as he could possibly match up on it. Bennett did get one at some point, kind of in the flow of things. I thought in that game, though, that, like, you know, James Gillis was the best player potentially I saw the whole weekend. I think he was fantastic. That game, John Balsamo, again, and continues to really impress. He's a guy that when we go to the 2026 re-rankings, you mentioned that the 25s are coming. 26s are, you know, not too imminently down the line. Does that make sense? I don't think that phrase makes sense, but that's okay. But he's got a bump coming his way. John looked really good. Continues to kind of add to his game as an athlete and with quickness. And I think that has been important for him, just a little bit snappier in everything. And so I thought his game has continued to evolve. And then to quickly just hit a couple of guys from the 27s, I'll stick with the first two as defenders. The first one that I'll hit is Nate Murillo. I thought he did a really nice job in a matchup against Madlax, against another attackman that is going to be pretty high on a lot of coaches' boards. And he did a really nice job. And I think that one of the things that stood out to me, and I wrote this in his evaluation, was they were sending picks his way. And in that instance, it's like quick decision, get over, get under, re-engage, and, you know, don't yield a step while doing it. And I think that he navigated all those picks, navigated the back of the goal, did a really nice job of re-engaging on the other side, getting sticks and gloves, and using his length, and quickness, in a really collaborative way that led to him doing a really nice job on that as a cover, and just like was very urgent and involved while maintaining that cover. So I was really impressed with him as one of the guys that I came away with. Jack Zupio as well, I was really impressed with him. And I think one of the things that stands out to him is like versatility, just can get it done in every facet. And from any spot, right? Anywhere on the field that you throw him, he's in a spot that he can make a play for sure. And then I'm getting long-winded here, and I've talked a lot, so I'll quickly wrap it up with the last guy. But like we said, if you're looking for more NLF standouts, there are a ton of them, so go check it out. But the last guy I'll shout out is Dylan Franzen. You mentioned, you know, timing and off-ball savvy. He's got all of it. Really, really slick. Great stick, left-handed, awesome inside, great from the wings. Just a really, really savvy finisher that also just like gets offense and spacing. And, you know, one of the things that I think popped for me when I was watching him in those moments is whether he times up a cut and like goes and cuts hard hips and shoulders to it, or like just kind of finds a seam and settles in for that like free throw, you know, hockey term high slot, kind of sit there and just find that space. And he did a really nice job of differentiating between those two. And like I said, just like very instinctual in there to find space, and then a great stick to make sure it ends up in the back of the net afterwards.
Cap, one of the best things about talking recruiting with you is you throw a ton of names at you, and you are just throwing a wealth of knowledge about these guys. So it's fun to see you go to work. And listen, you're on a roll here. I got a little excited about the IL Summer Cup earlier on the show here. I want to rewind it. You're on a roll. Let's go back to the underclass games of the New Balance All-American players up in our neck of the woods, where you saw quite a few standouts.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm eager to get into those guys. I'll start with champions. Does that sound good to you?
That'd be great.
Perfect. So for the 28s, there was no champion. Weather got in the way, which sucks. But, you know, that is the way the cookie crumbles. I believe they did co-champs. Upstate DC was the championship game matchup, I believe, off the top of my head. And so I think those guys were branded as co-champs. In the Burn 2027 division, you had Long Island take that. And to keep the wealth of geography going here, in the 2026s, in the highlight division, you also had Long Island win that one. So Long Island with a dominant display, winning the 26 and 27 championships. Cameron James headed to Johns Hopkins, left-handed attackman from Smithtown West. I believe he's also on that express team that we were just talking about. He was the MVP of that team and in that for that championship. If you're not familiar with his game, super smooth lefty. Again, I think a guy that kind of gets it done in both a off-ball and a dodging way. I think if I were to categorize him as a dodger, he's probably better attacking approaches than he is like picking it up off the end line and going at you just on his own. But again, very capable as a dodger as well. And especially if he can catch it on that left wing and, you know, have to have an approach coming his way and he can make it pay. And so, again, headed to Hopkins and a really nice performance over the course of that event. And then in the 27 division, the MVP was Ryan Lasko, St. Anthony's, short of shore for his club team, and an LSM that is really disruptive and pretty savvy in transition and, you know, can pull up and, you know, feed it or can shoot in transition as well. Pretty good stick, but is also just like putting the ball on the ground a ton, great on wings. And again, I think that when it comes to the description that I just laid out, I bet you're thinking of somebody who weighs like, you know, he's like 6'3", 175. But with Lasko, he's a little shorter, a little stockier, a little stronger. So a pretty interesting skill set for his body type that also allows him to be pretty physical and get hands on guys and move them around as a cover as well.
Cap, you're on a roll here. I've got four names in the 26th division that, you know, I want to hear what you got about them. And you can go as rapid fire as you like. Let's start with Grady Mollett, headed to Maryland.
Yeah, I'll cheat a little bit on this one because I saw him so much with Spalding. But as a Terps guy yourself, I think you should be pretty excited about Brady. He's one of the guys that, and I feel like I keep coming back to this point, but it's one of the things that I think really matters for this 2026 class. He keeps getting better. Every time you see him, there's been no type of plateau. And he is awesome at X quarterbacking things. And also can go inside and like play with within the flow of things, and can pick the ball up off the end line, just go by guys, can do it off the ISO by himself, can do it with a pick, like just super, super savvy as a dodger. And then One of the things that I think stands out is like his ability to read and decipher a defense. If you are coming from the crease and filling from the top, he's going to skip it through. If for some reason he's dodging and taking his right hand and you pinch off the pipe or you pinch from the wing, it's an adjacent and he just makes a good decision. And then shooting the hashes, he's really, really effective and efficient. He shoots it overhand, he shoots it to the bottom pipe, and he just buries the ball, and he does it with a ton of consistency. And so I think, you know, over the course of, you know, if we call it June 1st of last year to right now, I've seen him play maybe 10 times, and all 10 times I've been like, floored with just his energy and like how hard he rides on top of everything else that I just mentioned as well. And so, like I said, the combination of all of those things, I think, is something that Terps fans should be pretty excited about.
Stocks rising, baby. I love it. Paul Wabble. And it's a UNC.
I believe it's Wobble, but I won't. I don't know. If Paul, let us know. Find
DMs.
But either way, I'll dive in a little bit. And I think he's I think he's just super, super hard-nosed, plays with a ton of edge, right? Like super high compete level. And I think in that position, it's like it's the fuel, right? And so because that is on the table, he is eager to cross check you. He wants to play you with physicality, wants to get on hips. But I think he's also just like anytime that there's a ground ball and then a subsequent, like you have to leg it out in the clear, like he's just up for the task. And so when it comes to like the core things that you're going to ask those short stick D-mids at the next level to do, it's like, you know, be willing to cross check people and be confrontational off picks, not have to be slid to a ton as an individual cover. And then when we throw you the ball in the clear, can you catch it and run by a couple of guys? And he checks every one of those boxes. So to me, he's like an early playing time and just like, you know, impact player pretty early as a short stick D-mid at the college level.
Another midfielder who impacts the game in a number of ways. I'm glad you highlight. I've seen him quite a bit. Henry Ferguson, Ohio boy.
I'll ask you again then. I'll steal the opportunity. What to you in the moments that you've seen him in your sample of Henry has been what's impressed?
He's just effective in a number of ways. He doesn't let the ball die on his stick, which I love. It's a big no-no for me when I'm note-taking and evaluating guys. And you can clearly tell the moment he's coming out of the box, he's one of the most athletic guys on the field. His first step is great. He's got a great split dodge. He can create his own shot, and he keeps his head up. So all things I love. And by all accounts, it seems like his stock's rising as well, headed to Brown.
Yep. And I'll add to that and just say that the number one thing that pops to me is like cerebral, like a cerebralness to him, and then a subsequent willing to bark people around and put people in the right spots because he knows exactly, like he knows better than they do and is willing to be the one to get his group organized in a way that he knows matters. And I think that is awesome, right? And I think in the club world and in this instance, it's underclass, so he's playing with Midwest. You know, like there's just a respect level that you have to have amongst your peers to be able to do that in an effective way. So like that tells me something as well. And then everything you mentioned about it on top of it, just like ability, can go by guys, can hit it on the run, can catch and shoot, can do a ton of like what you're going to ask of guys in the offensive midfield in the 6-on-6, but also just like, you know, super cerebral and understands then like if, you know, it's the guy that's like getting everybody organized because he knows how we want to start things. Like if you think he's catching the ball on like a follow or something and doesn't know already before the ball even hits his stick that he's throwing it to the backside as quickly as possible, like you're crazy. Like he's absolutely, you know, moving within 6-on-6 flow with that intention. You mentioned not letting the ball die in his stick. Like that's one of the things that I think like I wrote a positive note on was just that like how quickly the ball goes from his stick to the backside when he's just supposed to be a transfer guy, like as quickly as possible and keeping the offensive flow. And, you know, like I said, just a sign of IQ, stick skills, confidence, all that type of stuff that I think is really impressive every time I've watched Henry.
Now we've hit a lot of 26s here. I want to mention a few of my own coming up in kind of a similar setting representing regions, but we can't let you escape the underclass games without mentioning a D3 guy.
Perfect. I appreciate that. And I love the tee up there. Alex Barbagallo, headed to Amherst, playing for Connie. Was definitely the standout of his team for me when I watched that group. Did a really nice job just like battling and competing. I think I love, one of the things I love about his game is just like a low center of gravity and an explosiveness on top of it. He's physical, he's heavy, he's strong, hard to move out of it. And then once he gets that clamp down, like he is really doing a nice job of controlling those exits to a spot where only he can get it. And it's very much so like either he wins the faceoff or it becomes a, you know, six-person scrap and there's no in-between. And I thought that aspect of things was really impressive. And then a nice handle as well and did a nice job of, pushing things once he did win forward or won to himself. So he would be definitely one of my shout-outs there. And you mentioned how eager I am to hit a D3 guy. So as soon as I saw him performing, I was like, yep, got to make sure I get him in the outline.
Shout out to Amherst. You got a good one coming to you. Cap, I do want to hit a few guys in a setting that I thought was pretty similar we can go back to Alliance afterwards, but the Nike National All-Star Games presented just a lot of guys that, you know, were on our radar already for at least the 26 division and a lot of them in the 27s we've written up several times over last summer and a half. But the Joe Lyas being second ranked defender in this class, named MVP for Pacific Northwest, this guy is just making play after play, and I can tell why he's one of your favorite players, one of Terry's favorites in the 26s, because he continues to just play really hard, and anything that's in like a 10-foot radius of him, he's scooping up no matter the traffic around him. And I had quite a few points in the short kind of halves I was watching. I was kind of splitting between different regions playing around that complex. So shout out Joe Lyas, shout out Pacific Northwest for taking it home at the National All-Star Games. And Kat, you mentioned a Richmond guy earlier. Gavin Gilmore is gonna be a problem. Listen, this guy was just shouldering into guys with his left shoulder and just absolutely sending cannons to that far pipe, whether it was bouncers, top shelf. This guy is just a force to be reckoned with, and he had one of the best club performances I've seen of the entire summer that he put on for his squad. Capped it off with a backflip, so that made it all the sweeter with an overtime winner with, he's coming out of the box. He's like, I'm watching him from behind, but I can just picture him like foaming out of the mouth to get the ball and get a chance to win the game for his team. So shout out Gilmore, but you know, I had most of my attention towards the 27s as I have been pretty much all summer long. So I just want to shout out a few guys for you, starting with Luke Perriello from Team New Jersey, plays for Brunswick. This guy, he's been written up about five times, if not more, in our database here. And the theme of it, he's got a high motor, super athletic. And listen, at the National All-Star Games, he's got a deep bag that's only growing to kind of give opposing defenses fits in as a two-handed shooter. Nate Handles Randles. Man, this guy is slick. This morning we were talking about, you know, maybe that next tier of kind of quarterback attackman, but pre-pod here, and I think this is a guy who's going to be highly sought after. Yeah, playing for Team DMV, and this guy can just dish it. You know, he's thrown great skips over top of the defense, just perfectly lofted into the step down position for his guys. Shout out the MVP of the championship defensive midfielder Mateo Rannigan. He's all over the place, checked all the boxes that you mentioned earlier. And shout out Tommy Leland too. I didn't write him up, but because like you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, like sometimes we kind of had this desire to highlight guys that haven't been evaluated before, and Tommy Leland's a guy that has been written up plenty. Very smart, very savvy, more athletic than he looks kind of player, and he played really well alongside his line mate Finn Parlee, who is just really fast, super speedy kind of guy. So just some guys want to throw at your cap, and a really fun event to cover if you want to check out more evals. There's quite a few of them.
Perfect. Well said. And then you also mentioned Alliance already, and the fact that we were able to dive into that one together and kind of tag team things over the course of that weekend. We were a little bit hit with some thunder throughout the weekend and lightning, so that did put a little bit of damper on things, but the boys continued to play hard and fight through it, claiming championships in that one. You had in the 2026 division, you had Team 10 take it. In the 2027 division, you had PBL win it. That was two games that we got to kind of split half and half. 26 has played a little bit of a shorter game, condensed version of things to make sure that they got it all in. 27's played a full game, so we got the benefit of that in terms of our sample as well. And then in the 2028s, we had 3D New England go ahead and win that one. I have a handful of guys I am prepared to hit on, but I'll kick it back to you as you look eager to continue the momentum that you had in terms of hitting some standouts. So who were your guys from the weekend you are most ready to kind of dive in on?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you said, shout out for everyone braving the delays and powering through, because that's never a fun thing. Just for another teaser for more content, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, really interested to see where BBL is in the club coaches poll come the summer's end here that we'll have out in the next few days. They're just loaded, man. You wrote up Charlie Dunn. I think he's a guy who lefty ball carry out of the midfield that kind of proved how deep of just how many options they have offensively. Brandon Fodor is, I've written a few times that he's my favorite midfielder in the class, and for a variety of reasons, the foremost being I think he's the most athletic, and that was on full display in all the games that I saw them play at Alliance again. And a guy who really wasn't on my radar coming in, but who just balled out as a invert option and really on the wings as a scorer, feeder, triple threat guy, just Dean Chiziano. Shout out you and for his kind of bevy of moves that he was able to put on opposing defenses, applied a lot of pressure in some different ways with quickness and deception. And you know, one of the highlights of my summer was seeing the Richmond staff watch Max Merklinger's younger brother Jack just hit an absolutely nasty around the world in that championship game for BBL to take home the Alliance title for the Jersey club. So shout out BBL, very well run club, very nice coaches, and some gifted athletes. It'd be interesting to see where a lot of them end up come the fall here. You know, BBL took home the title, but there are plenty of standouts to be had throughout the 27 division at Alliance, and brotherly love had a handful of them. Adam Dodia, a basketball guy at Salesian, who really showed off his great footwork, great athleticism, pressing down on guys, super physical, and just an absolute menace. He's a guy you do not want to match up against, as he can just be an absolute pest out there, just drawing into things and what have you. It was fun to, you know, like you mentioned, we're split in halves between these games, and it's a unique venue for it to have these two fields separated by a small hill in the final stages there, and kind of see both going back and forth with the 26s and 27s for BBL. So while the 26s did finish up first, another guy that I thought was in that same Dodia vein was Sam Vacrice. Sorry if I said that wrong. Out of Lawrenceville, just a guy who presses out, a term that you love using, sideline to sideline defender, just always sticks and gloves, and super great athlete. So shout out Vacrice, as I think you pronounce it. And just to finish up with a few guys that they met in that championship game, I know that we're going to be hearing about a lot for years to come, is that 3D New England midfield is just legit, man. John Lynch, Henry Card, two big lefties, super slick, all-around players who can impact the game in a number of ways. And I have been on my radar really the last year or so, dating back to seeing them in the fall and some tournaments last summer. So last thing I'll say for Alliance, and I'll let you speak here, I know we've been talking a little bit, is Brennan Nury, man. Looking like Rowan, with just the way he was rubbing off some razor screens, some screens at X, putting his shoulder in the guys, and his GLE footwork to kind of get his was fantastic. A lot of shades of Rowan in there, and if you saw Rowan ball out at the New Balance Senior All-American game, He made the USA U20 team that we'll see this month in World Lacrosse Championship play. And if that's any indication of kind of his potential, it doesn't always work out like that. But Brennan, you're on the right trajectory there. So shout out to the Nurries.
Awesome. Well said. Love it. Thanks for picking that up for me. I will hit a couple of Alliance guys. We said we were going to try and limit each event to 5 minutes or five guys, and that so far has not come to fruition, but that's okay. It's all good stuff. One guy that I'm going to start with, and again, I think one of the things that I try and do is shine some light on the unsung heroes, those short stick D-mids. I think Brady Berg from Santa Fe Christian, Mad Dog West, is one that a lot of guys are going to, he's going to get a lot of calls type of guy, even though in a position that maybe doesn't warrant all of the most calls all the time, right? I think he's that caliber of player. One of the best defensive midfielders in the class, probably. And again, just an eager cross checker, wants to play with physicality, can be confrontational, and then, has the athleticism to match feet as well. I'll hit an LSM from Mamaroneck. Actually, I got a double check.
You were like, Gerd had one of the most impactful games at Alliance. In, like, you mentioned that Tomahawks game earlier that had a really exciting finish. Mad Dog Mad Dog versus Team 10 it was in that 27 division to start my Alliance day off. And overtime finish, Brody Bone had the game winner, a little lefty split action. Berg set it up. He had the trail check. if you think you beat Berg, protect your stick, because he's a great athlete. And like you mentioned, he'll be getting some great attention come September 1st and beyond.
I was right. Henry Doherty is Mamaroneck. For some reason, I thought Rye for a second. Apologies. But playing for Predators, LSM, left-handed, and what I'd say I think stand out most about his game is like speed to match feet, but also every step of the way is throwing some sort of disruptive check. Tons of lifts, like tons of just like getting his stick deep in hands, like this, just like, you know, really disruptive at all points. And I think that was, you know, what really propped for me about him. You mentioned Brandon Foder already. I think he just like is a different level of athlete. He can make a play on one end, start running down the field, and you think he's at a sprint, and then like go to another gear and burst by one guy, and then you think, oh, well, now he's definitely at top end, and then does it again, right? And then at that point, like just will stick the far corner down the alley. And, you know, just really impressive. So I think he's
in a way. I am like really excited to see it. Like, John Foder is no slouch either. Like, he is a really good defenseman. And I'm just excited to see it end up in the same spot, because that's like a two-for-one deal that coaches can dream of.
Totally. And you mentioned, you know, kind of a snapshot that stands out to you earlier in terms of that Merklinger around the world. Snapshot that stands out to me is Brandon Foder scoring in transition on the run, because of a ground ball that he picked up as a result of a fill from John Foder up the field from X. So John's guarding a guy at X, crease gets jammed, he fills up the field, good check, puts it on the ground, his brother runs through the ground ball, runs by a guy, sticks it in transition, and it's like, oh, those two, like, yeah, sign me up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll keep rolling. You mentioned John Lynch and Henry Card, both fantastic, both lefties, both great athletes. The other that I would say, you know, that fits right in with those guys and runs with them a ton is Quincy Quilliard. Another just awesome athlete, really good between the lines. He's one that I would categorize as like has early defensive potential with offense later in his career. If offense right away doesn't work, right? And so like that, I'm not saying that it wouldn't or couldn't, I don't know, it could, certainly may, and he is the type of athlete that is going to really consistently be able to, you know, go by a guy and draw some slides. But I think from like a baseline, like what can he do right away, his athleticism fits on a college field today, much less in another 2 years.
It's early.
So I think that he's another guy that I would throw right in that mix with those guys. That's
why not both ends.
So what'd you say?
Why not both ends? Let's throw old school here. Throwback midfielder.
Totally. And then another guy, 3D New England, we've mentioned a lot, is Mark Intagliano, Roxbury Latin defender. Another 3D New England Roxbury Latin defender that we haven't talked about quite as much that can also really play is Thomas Mitchell. Again, can play down low and does that effectively, but also could very easily bump up and play some LSM, gets it done all over the field, can get out and have a presence, has great feet and speed, and can play you on the perimeter, but is also like physical and strong. Again, just kind of a constant impact, right? And so if he's in an off-ball role, he's doing it with a level of urgency and excellence that you know, stands out. And then on ball, like I said, great footwork, great feet, great presence, and wants to disrupt as well. So really impressed with Thomas Mitchell. For someone that plays alongside Metaliano, who often probably gets more of the spotlight, I think Mitchell is a guy that also deserves, you know, plenty of attention as well.
Cap, because we were both there, we had to indulge ourselves and go a little bit over our limit for Alliance. I do want to move things on here and hit on a couple MLA events that, you know, the first of which you were at. You saw a handful of top performers. that was during the All-Star games, which I was talking about a little bit earlier. Just let's hit on main stage and a few of the guys that stood out most in your eyes.
Yeah, I'll start with two face-off guys, Alex Dubnyk. Very first tip of the iceberg, I thought he was fantastic. I believe he took MVP honors of the position as well for his time there on site. And I think one of the things that sticks out to me about him wasn't just his ability to win to himself, but like doing it in so many different varieties of exits. Like win forward once just to come back out the next time. And if he thinks that his opponent is then expecting that same type of exit, now he's out the back shoulder and going the opposite way, right? Or, you know, if you move a wing down, now he's going to use them, like those types of things. Thought he was just fantastic at executing in a variety of ways. And I thought that that variety of ways to win over the course of the entire 2 days that I was able to catch things just constantly stood out, right? And so if you were to mark a little tally mark for each different way that he won a face-off, you'd end up with a bunch of different notes from it throughout the course of that 48 hours. And then another face-off guy that I thought was really impressive there was John Little. Again, just really impressive with his fight, his scrap, his heart, his hustle. And I thought he was great. We mentioned Alliance, right? We're already through it. He was great at Alliance playing for Sweet Lex as well. So really impressed with John. Offensively, I'll hit another MVP of the event, and that was Miles Goger, who I believe took the MVP for the midfield group. And I think what the tip of the iceberg is for his game is just shooting. Like, he can really hammer it. And whether that's off the catch on a skip, you know, he's on the backside of it and catches it and has time and room, like, look out, he can really pull it. But also on the run, and a lot of times it's like a stop and pop situation for him that seems to work really well, right? Creates enough separation off the dodge that he can just flip his hips, turn, set, and step into one. And again, a lot of the time brings it overhand, this high to low release that is really pretty. So, and really was impressed with him over the course of that. And then I think the second aspect of things that sets him up for success is he always getting to the middle of the field. So everything was off of the sweep, or like I said, like that stop and pop, but he was getting to the middle of the field to be able to do it. So really impressed with his game. We've already mentioned a couple of Lawrenceville defenders in this class. So this is a spot that they are particularly rich at in this position in class. But this is Sean Curry, who physically, again, we've talked about already in this podcast and has been evaluated several times. His size is just, you know, pops right away. But then when you factor the way that he moves on top of it, his athleticism, his stick skills, his coordination, all of those types of things, he's certainly a top of the board defender. And then a goalie that I feel like has continued to rise, and again, took MVP honors at main stage here, and that is Max Einen, shore to shore. And again, just does a really nice job in the cage. Super snappy, great size, but he's not like, you know, massive, or one of those guys that's like overly tall that then you have to worry about like their ability to get down low. I'd say he's a little bit wiry, but again, just like really quick, great instincts, and had a really, really nice July on the circuit.
You know, you're spot on with all that analysis from main stage. Another event I think we can maybe end with, also run by ML8, is Future Phenoms up in Newport, Rhode Island at St. George's. I've gone to this the last few summers, and the last couple summers it was like pretty hot there, Cap. This time it's I got the sea breeze and it was perfect. It was absolutely beautiful weather. And I just want to throw it forward a little bit to, you know, some guys that we'll have an even bigger eye on next summer for the 28 division. These guys make it really easy to follow. Both 27s and 28s. If you want to see the 27 standouts, make sure to head on to theinsidelacrosse.com. 28s, you mentioned the size with a guy like Sean Curry. Like, you can't go to future phenoms this past month and come away with any other take that these 28 defensemen were just huge. Guys like Oswald Soderberg, great name. Shout out Oswald, Proctor Academy product, who was just absolutely getting after it and really taking the game to his matchups throughout. And, you know, watching Dave Petromala get after these guys is always a treat too. To see him and guys like John Malabar from Fairport High School in New York, Sweelaq's upstate kid. Two of the defensive standouts, Jackson Potter, another. And, you know, the goalie play, those guys get beat on the off chance that maybe it's they're not there for their timely slides. Guys like Jake Colclaser out of the Loomis Chafee, West Coast Stars kid. It's always a pleasure seeing guys that yourself and Terry Foya have evaluated in the past. And, you know, I always want to try to get the diamonds in the rough, but guys like Colclaser are just too great to not get noticed beforehand. Him and Michael Adubato, a Brunswick guy, two of the best net miners in that 28 division. Name that I think college lacrosse fans will all recognize in Vernon Bratton Jr. Just an absolute big body in down low. Attackman, Harbor Fields High School guy who I think had the best goal maybe of future phenoms with a sick twister coming underneath. Guys like William Stoller, real crafty attackman out of Culver Academy. If you want to check out the rest, again, hit the article. And yeah, Future Phenoms were one of the best hybrid kind of showcases with all that high level instruction and gameplay to put those lessons in practice. So I had to shout out those guys. Kaplan, I do want to wrap this up with, get into a little bit of a teaser here. Yeah. I feel like I've been throwing teasers at you listeners all podcast. But this is the week where, you know, we're comparing notes, we're putting all these things together. So just if you want to give your best teaser for our second annual Q Collar recruiting video series, put your teaser hat on and give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just in general is super important. Everybody right now is gearing up, right? I feel like this is the moment in the next couple of weeks where we really have the opportunity to kind of show our work over the course of the last 2 months and what we've been doing, where we've been, who we've seen, all those types of things. I think the best way that we are able to do that is put some cameras on, throw some microphones in front of us, and just start talking about what we've seen, where we've been, who we liked. And over the course of time, we're going to end up, you know, kind of compiling notes and creating a board that isn't so different than the way that college coaches go about doing it, right? And so I think that's really exciting. We've all kind of been able to divide and conquer, perform our own evaluations while also seeing each other's. And now it's time to kind of put all that work to use, have some conversations that help sculpt all those types of things. And then, like we said, create some really compelling content around the recruiting world so that when these guys start committing, fans are able to have some context for around, you know, who is actually committing to their program, right? Is it, you know, the one of the guys that we've identified as is a best in the class type of kid? Or is it a guy that maybe is a little bit more unknown, diamond in the rough? And both of those guys, you know, deserve their own type of credit and understanding. But we want to try and be able to provide fans with as much context as possible ahead of 9-1 so that once these commitments start rolling in, you know, everybody can kind of understand exactly the caliber of commitment that that entails.
Cap, always a pleasure talking shop, recapping the summer events with you. And if I say the phrase fun to watch more than twice during that cute collar video, I give you permission to do what you can to make me shut up.
All right, I'll do my best. Maybe we'll have to like dog collar it or something, but I'm pretty
little electric shock.
Can we put a dog collar inside of a cue collar?
These are the injuries that cue collar does not want to promote. So I doubt it, but
here's the question for him. If you mentioned you during your time on the circuit, you had emailed Coach Tillman. Would you have been drafted in the Nilly event to get 60K if your team wins?
No, I would have been like, man, that was way too hot of an event. But if my team won, I'd be emailing the team captains to give me my money, man. Drafted me.
Would you vote out for the championship game? And if you didn't, would you still want your money?
I'm cramping up. Hanson Peck, give me my money, man. Jaden James is another name I did want to mention at the Nike All-Star Games. Listen, we're going to get it. We're going to be talking all night if you keep talking to me. But shout out him for captaining that team along with Hanson and taking home the unique Nilly format, because he's another guy like that. You spoke about like a few guys that every time you watch them, their stock is rising and they play better each time. Jaden James is just that way for me every time I get eyes on him. So Jaden, fighting through the heat at the Nilly and taking home the 60K, and really great message with fighting Parkinson's and everything down there. So keep doing the great stuff.
I don't understand that part. Sorry.
They were shooter shirts or shooting or just warm-up shirts maybe underneath their pads that go check out McInerney's recap article, and he explains it much better than I'm doing justice for. But it's a great cause that is dear to James, and a great cause for maybe some good charity work to be done.
I'm just kidding. I did see the article, but I wanted you to say more about it.
Well, I hope I passed your
not really. Yes. Not really. But go check out what McInerney had to say. All right, let's wrap it up.
No, I'm going to go click this link now and make sure I get this right. To your liking.
I'm just kidding. You did a good job. You didn't
know. We're extending
the summer. You didn't know. You didn't know. You were thrown on the spot.
People have somehow made it to this far into the IL prep sphere that they are going to hear me explain the fact that they weren't just representing their future careers with the Syracuse Orange, but the fight against Parkinson's, a very noble fight in which James's high school, one has affected for him close to his heart with Kate McLaughlin. Shout out Kate, shout out the team Peck and James, and they did it for her. So it's a great cause. Great reporting from our fearless leader, McInerney there.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much to everybody who tuned in. If you like what you heard here tonight, send it to a friend, subscribe, leave a rating, comment something nice, all that good stuff. We appreciate everybody.